told never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the revolution. Solar panels were on the rooftops, trains upon the tracks, organic food was in the market.
This is the Quality News Network. Israelis have fired a missile at a bridge in the Gaza Strip as soldiers and tanks stand ready to launch a full-scale assault. An unknown number of people were killed when their car exploded near President Mahmoud Abbas's residence. The action follows Sunday's abduction of an Israeli soldier by Palestinian militants. Meanwhile, negotiators from the Hamas government say they have accepted a deal that implicitly recognizes Israel. However, two Hamas leaders denied an agreement has been reached. In Iraq, 450 detainees were released from Abu Ghraib today under the Prime Minister's National Reconciliation Plan. One of the largest Sunni Arab groups has endorsed the plan, which is designed to bring insurgents into the political process. Also in Iraq, a U.S. soldier and a Marine died in separate attacks near Baghdad. And yesterday, another soldier was killed in Anbar province. Nearly 70 Iraqis have died in the last 24 hours. In Baghdad, former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein will face a second war crimes trial. Shortly after the end of his current trial, in which he is charged with killing Shia Muslims, he'll stand trial for the deaths of an estimated 100,000 Kurds following the first Gulf War. In Iran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says he sees no point in negotiating with the U.S. about Iran's disputed nuclear program. That's in response to an offer by Washington to join the European Union's talks with Tehran if it agrees to stop the program. In Washington, the Surgeon General says secondhand smoke clearly kills people. He says the only way to control it is to ban smoking in all workplaces. In Washington today, the man tapped by President Bush to become the next Treasury Secretary appeared before the Senate Finance Committee. Henry Paulson, who spent 32 years on Wall Street, is expected to be approved by the full Senate by the 4th of July. Also in Washington, the House is expected to pass a bill this week that would allow drilling off the Florida coast. But Senator Bill Nelson says he will start a filibuster if it passes. Others join in his opposition of the bill, which could bring oil rigs within 50 miles of the Florida coastline. In Washington, a bill introduced in the Senate would create a national standard for preventing identity theft. It would apply to banks and other businesses handling sensitive personal information like Social Security numbers. In Arizona, a 60,000-acre wildfire near the Grand Canyon has trapped workers and tourists. And in Nevada, lightning has sparked six more wildfires. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Henry Paulson, who's expected to take over as Treasury Secretary, says that if he's confirmed, he will review the newly revealed program that allows the government to track financial information to catch terrorists. Citizens Banking has announced plans to buy Republic Bancorp in a more than $1 billion deal. That merger would create a new entity, Citizens Republic Bancorp, and could close in the fourth quarter. Three British bankers will be extradited to the U.S. to face charges related to Enron's collapse. The men had fought the move, saying that most of the alleged offenses took place in Britain and they should face trial there. Morgan Stanley has agreed to pay $10 million to settle charges by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The commission charged the firm with failing to ensure it had procedures in place to prevent the misuse of insider information. The National Association of Realtors says sales of existing homes fell in May, with the biggest drop in the Northeast. Sales also fell in the Midwest, but rose slightly in the West and the South. GM and Delphi say 47,000 workers have accepted buyouts or early retirement offers, thus expected to save the companies $8 billion a year. Intel is selling its division that makes processors for handheld devices. Chipmaker Marvell Technology will pay $600 million. Light sweet crude settled at $71.80 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 116 points, NASDAQ down 30, S&P 500 down 10. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome to this Tuesday night edition, Tuesday afternoon edition, sometime Wednesday edition, depending on where you are on the face of planet Earth. And hello to all our friends on the alien planet Zarvon. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and there are two or three different ways we can go this evening, at least for starters. Now, you know the drill. You are the most important part of this program. That's why if you listen to some other radio talk shows not on this network, you've just about got to be willing to play a game of I Spy to find out what the phone number is to call in. Assuming they even want you to call. And I'm not necessarily talking about liberal talkers. I'm talking right-wing freaks. But, we don't wait till, three breaks in. Call Bob now. No, we run it at the top of the program. Because we want to get the dialogue started right away. But, flag desecration. Hey. When someone doesn't screw up, we go, hey, yay for you, you didn't screw up. I fully expected Senator Byrd to pander on this one. He didn't. He didn't screw up. He voted against the flag desecration amendment, as did Senator Kennedy and several other good Democrats. But I'm proud of Senator Byrd for not screwing this one up. Track record hadn't been so good lately. And then there's Rush. And I want to go into this into some detail this evening. It all starts, he got busted for having 29 Viagras in a bottle. That's 29, that's one less than 30, the 30 being the usual prescription. And he was coming back on his private plane from the Dominican Republic. Now, I know you probably already heard this on Bruce's program at the top of his program. You may hear it again on John's program following mine. The Head On Radio Network is growing by leaps and bounds. But it deserves to be heard a couple of times because I want you to hear, if it's somebody else and there's a drug problem, the evidence is there. He has called, Flemball has called for people in the past to be, put away forever for drug crimes. But I want you to hear the way Flush treats it when it relates to him. Dear, could we please?
I've been racking my brain. I'm trying to figure out how Bob Dole's luggage got on my airplane. At any rate, ladies and gentlemen, I told the doctor, I said, look, I'm worried about the next election, not...
A misunderstanding. Har.
Now things are what they are.
Oh, I'm just a bustin' because it's so funny. But it isn't. Behind all that bluster, there is, or should be, some real worry because he did, in fact, violate the terms of his pretrial diversion. And that could very well be violated, and he could have to stand trial. I kind of hope he does. One of my favorite promos, Agnes, I got to tell you.
Thank you.
And that's the Bone Box promo, isn't it?
Just a little of what things are to come.
Oh, no. But at any rate, I don't want to... Okay. You super sleuths out there, what we need to find out is, this past weekend, where was Darren Kagan? You know, that sort of gaunt-faced, hollow-cheeked, bottle brunette that is a talking head at CNN and ostensibly has been running with Rush. Where was Darren Kagan? But, you know, while we're at it, let's ask a couple of other questions, not the least of which is, he's part of the family values crowd. Personal responsibility and family values, that's core cornerstones of your Republican Party in the first century, the first decade of the 21st century. Shouldn't he, really, shouldn't he be saving himself for his next wife? And I forget where it was I saw this, but a really cogent inquiry. You know how pharmacists are out there and they raise such holy malarkey? Because it's an issue of conscience for them not to dispense the morning after pill because it might cause a woman to have a spontaneous abortion. Right? Where are those where are those pharmacists of conscience in dispensing Viagra to unmarried men? Oh, guess that. Well, of course, they're hypocrites. But beyond that, I want to talk a little bit later on about the sex trade in the Dominican Republic. I found a scholarly paper. By scholarly paper, I mean it didn't have any pictures. But I found a scholarly paper about the sex trade in the Dominican Republic, and there are issues raised in that paper that just, well, they kind of explain why Rush was there. And moreover, they explain why any Republican would be there, and why over 1.5 million sex tourists go to the Dominican Republic every year. And it also incidentally lays out a pretty good picture of the economic situation in the Dominican Republic, which oddly enough mirrors the economic situation that ultimately the Republican Party would like to create in the United States. I mean, you've got all your Republican hot button topics. I mean, you got your racism. You got your free market economics. Oh, there's all kinds. So we will be talking about that here in the fairly near future. Agnes, dear, shall we take a break and come back and start doing phone calls? Okie dokie. A couple of lines already lighted up. If you want to light the rest of them up, it's up to you. Hope you do. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this right here is the Head On Radio Network.
Every step that I take is a lie. The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show, where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Speaking of thievery,
yes,
just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right,
yes,
he died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Minutes past the hour as we cruise into this Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and straight to the phones for our friend David from Maine has been waiting. David, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm all right. I was going to talk about the since you got me started on the Rush thing, I'll get right into that. I want to bring up something that nobody's talking about. I remember in school, everyone used to put objects in something that was unassuming. So here's what I'm thinking. Just because somebody says a Viagra bottle doesn't mean they searched it. And knowing, since these cops were from Florida, and that's a Jeb Bush state, I don't think they're going to open that bottle and look.
Well, but, I mean, there's David, hasn't there already been reference to the fact that they were distinctively shaped pills?
I don't know. I think you can put anything in the press release you want to. I really do, and I really don't think that they would just look at them and go, okay.
Okay, oh, I see. You're moving in the direction of cover-up from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a perfect way if he was Rush Limbaugh or someone who was visible and had some influence of how to smuggle drugs in. I mean, that's one way that I would do with something like that. It's just so unassuming. It's like, okay, here's a Viagra bottle. And then, I don't think they See, here's what I'm thinking. I don't think the cops would open it because that would be kind of like insulting to Rush. They would trust him. Because it's Rush Limbaugh. Look, he's got a bottle of Viagra.
Well, but see, the problem, David, and I don't know. I mean, you may be right. I'm sad to say I think you probably are.
Yeah.
I'm not gooning on you. I'm talking about the system down there. But he has violated his agreement because Peyton, yeah, I can guarantee it. There is a paragraph in his pretrial diversion that says he will remain at all times law-abiding.
Well,
and that bottle didn't have his name on it.
I think the lawyer's gonna. I mean, I think the problem with this is it's the same way. It's all wording, isn't it?
Yeah.
When he said Rush Limbaugh booked, they couldn't say arrested. Can't say arrested. I'll sue you.
No, he was detained.
Don't even think of saying arrested. Oh, if you say arrested, it'll be on the Drudge Report in 2 seconds.
Oh, I know. That whole thing went down when he was arrested the last time.
Right. It's all about wording. So I think, yeah, Rush is going to get a little bit in trouble, but the judge is going to go, oh, it was just Viagra. But again, I don't know it was Viagra. You don't know it was Viagra. We really don't know what was in that bottle. And we don't know if the cops searched. I looked in the article. If they opened it, then they opened it. But
it was customs officials that found it.
Hmm.
Was it not?
I don't know.
Yeah, because his baggage was searched when he returned in his private. You know, dude has a Gulfstream 5, and it landed there in Palm Beach or wherever. And upon disembarking, his baggage was gone through.
Well, all I can say is it's a coffee table conversation piece. We'll just have to wait till see if he's arrested. I mean, that's all I can really say on that.
David, if I understand the law correctly, he wouldn't technically be arrested because he's already been booked on the charge.
Right, but I can.
What would happen is he would be hailed into court, and he would be the judge would be asked to declare his agreement in violation.
Right.
And it would immediately be set for trial.
Booked. Arrested, just if he's taken in under any kind of stress over his legal situation with drugs, it's all the same. The second thing I was going to mention was I don't know if you saw the new photo op with Bush and the soldier.
No, not yet. I haven't.
Oh, it's such a bad photo op, Bob. It's so shameless. I mean, I've never seen more a shameless photo. It's Bush jogging with the soldier, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any legs.
Oh, I saw that. Is that new? I mean, I saw that a year or so ago.
Is that a year ago?
I think so. The guy with he's missing a leg from like the lower thigh down, like artificial knee and everything.
Well, this guy's missing two legs.
Oh, he's out running with not a new one.
And Bush is smiling.
Oh God.
I mean, to me, I think when someone like Jack Murtha sees that, or hopefully some of his constituents, they'll start to put the pieces together and be like, you know, this is kind of really, really a shameless attempt to a new low when we didn't think it could get any lower.
Yeah, see, I got his legs blowed off and he still likes me.
Yeah, that's basically it. And the guy had like those next generation type spring activated legs or whatever.
Yeah. The literally bionic legs.
Right, the bionic legs. They're probably the administration paid for if he would do a photo op.
Oh, God. I can't believe there's a second one of these out there. I mean,
I think it just came out today. Yeah, and that to me just struck me as...
Well, what was the headline? Bush runs with guy who has artificial legs? I mean, what... What was the
Bush jogs with veteran, basically wounded veteran. That's the headline. I mean, that's when people see that, like the red staters, they'll be like, "See, he's jogging with a veteran. I knew he was a good guy."
Well, you know, they're all excited because his poll numbers went all the way up to 36%, David.
Oh wow!
They're calling that the Bush bounce.
Well. I consider that when they take Russ Feingold's plan, since they're going to jack it, he'll have like two more poll points up when they deploy the troops.
Ish.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was going to mention was the flag burning issue.
Yeah.
And personally, I really don't care. I mean, anyone can do anything with a flag, as long as it's not in my house, as long as it's safe, and whatever they want to do with it, go yeah. Knock yourself out. It's a flag. I mean, people need to get over the fact that, you know what it is? It's a nationalist theater, nationalist dinner theater. Someone has to overact someone else. Like when you go to a dinner theater show and someone's constantly overacting the other performer, that's what this all is.
Well, sure it is. And, you know, I got a note from our good friend Clyde over at WD40.com, David. And he said, as someone who opposes flag burning and cherishes the First Amendment, he sees no other alternative but to mandate that all flags be made of non-flammable materials. So that's reasonable too. I mean, this is also ridiculous. It puts everything in a ridiculous position. Sheet metal flags, you know, I guess sort of like the ones we sent up to the moon or something.
And of course, the answer is they say, well, somebody died for you for that flag. Well, technically, they didn't die for me because they didn't know me.
Well, and frankly, they, you know, if you want to, you can extend that, David.
I mean,
they didn't die for that flag. They died for that Constitution.
That's right. Did you happen to hear the reporter caught Gonzalez in his little speech about Miami terrorists?
Oh, yeah. That.
Where he says, were they Al-Qaeda? And he had to talk to his lawyer. No, they weren't Al-Qaeda.
But they could, these homegrown terrorists could be very dangerous in the future.
I swear I could hear, after he checked and he said no, I swear I could hear a wah, wah, wah.
Wah.
I mean, he really wanted to say it. You could tell it's like, were they Al-Qaeda?
Yeah, he was. Had the sweatshirt and certificate suitable for framing and everything.
Yeah. Also,
had an Al-Qaeda screensaver.
You know, since we're bringing up the issue of terrorism and terrorist attacks, I want somebody to realize that we had history in the making on Fox News, believe it or not, when James Fetzer was questioned by Ollie North about... Ollie North couldn't believe that Fetzer was saying that there could be a conspiracy and it could be an inside job. He just couldn't wrap his head around it. He was like... But he didn't know what to say to this professor because he wasn't saying... See, this is the game that people should play. We're going to play this game. Play strategy. Don't come out right with it. Just come out with the facts and just keep asking, but where's the plane? Where's the evidence? If we're going to go down this road, you got to go down it with a careful and cautious and just basically.
Well, another great example of that, David, was Bernie Ward's appearance on, I think, MSNBC against some right-wing yapper from Texas. With regard to the business about the latest release of information by the New York Times about the banking spying business. And he asked the right-wing freak, Bernie did, right off the bat, he said, well, do you want the government deciding what a journalist can print? And the only response that the right-wing freak had was to say that, well, I've only got one chin. You've got several, Bernie.
Well, if you notice, and everybody should be noticing, every time someone mentions the New York Times, a broadcaster and anchor should say, but it was also Wall Street Journal and LA Times. Always keep that in there.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to lose that frame and that talking point.
Well, I think you're right, and that is worth remembering.
And another thing that people need to keep reminding themselves, did the administration like the New York Times in 2002 when they had Judy Miller on the payroll?
Oh, yeah, out there banging the drums and drinking the Kool-Aid with Curveball. Sure.
And another thing they should keep in mind is, how conservative do you think these leakers are? I bet you they're really conservative officials, and they really are afraid of what they're seeing. And that's one other thing they should say. They should bring points up like that instead of just, well, it's we don't know if it's espionage or this is like the act of 1919 or whatever. And to me, there's a lot of issues to be said about this, and basically it comes down to this. The person who's leaking it and the person who's printing in the paper, it's not a program that anyone didn't know about before anyways. Basically.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. I can see that.
And in a time of dissent, and I mean, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black when you say, "Hey, what are you doing? You're going around the rules." I mean, this goes to my other point about the election, and I probably won't make it before the music goes, but the election, people don't realize this. If we get this taken, I'm telling you right now, we need to consider that you need to play a new ball game. And if you can't get the votes, then have you seen the movie Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you've seen the movie Ocean's 11, you have to start thinking like that if you're not going to be winning elections anytime soon. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to be walked on. And that's why, I mean, I don't know if the Democrats will do that. But I don't know if they'll ever be brave enough to do that.
Well, I was going to say, if it involves any courage, I'm not betting on it.
Well, maybe some Democrats know some hackers. I don't know. But the thing is that is going to take time for that to even evolve to something. I mean, I'm not even sure how this election is going to play out. I know Lieberman is pretty much toast.
Yeah, he'll run an independent campaign. Because even, Dick Morris came out in between his toe sessions.
Right.
And said that, you know, Lieberman's going to lose the primary.
I hear the music, Bob.
There it is, David.
It's like the Grammys.
You have a great evening, all right?
Frank Sinatra, and you're cutting me off. Yeah, Bob, I'll talk to you later, man. Have a good night.
All right, later.
Later.
All right, this is we're at the bottom of the hour a little bit more. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Bob@headonradio.com is the email. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
Well, I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricane, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
In Kosovo, the U.S. government has provided over $292 million, a $70 million U.S. government assistance package for Central America in response to Hurricane Mitch.
Sometimes it seems like we spend an awful lot of our tax money helping people in other countries. But in reality, it's less than 1% of our government's annual budget. Our aid programs save lives by helping couples plan their families, immunizing children against deadly diseases, and ensuring that people have safe drinking water. It's important that these programs continue. Helping create a healthy and secure future for people in developing countries helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121. This message brought to you by Population Action International.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll, but listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And welcome back. It is 23 minutes before the hour. And straight to the phones, Ben has been waiting. Ben, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey there, Bob.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good. You know, the one problem with what the previous caller said is that, yeah, they did open the bottle.
That was my understanding.
They actually, we know exactly how many Viagra tablets were in there. There were 29.
Right, out of a script of presumably?
Presumably 30, because if you don't have, you know, if you, I understand they write smaller scripts for people whose insurance can only pay for a few pills.
True.
But generally, if a doctor is going to write a script for somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who doesn't need or, you know, doesn't need insurance, okay, who just pays, you know, his walking around money would buy you or I a new house.
It would buy you or I.
Yeah, probably. So, you know, and it, you couldn't mistake Viagra for anything else. I went and I looked. They are a trapezoidal blue, you know, pills that have on one side it says Pfizer, on the other side it says VGR, and then the dosage number. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and I can't imagine that Customs would mistake that for anything else.
Well, and the bottle probably says
Viagra on it.
Yeah, Viagra or whatever the generic trade name is.
Name of his doctor as the recipient.
Well, it was a two-doctor practice, and it was one doctor prescribing, and it was the other doctor receiving.
Correct.
Which, at least if I understand correctly, puts those two physicians on the hot seat.
It certainly puts the receiving physician on the hot seat. You could argue, probably plausibly in court, that the guy who wrote the prescription for his partner did no wrong. It was the partner who then handed the prescription to Mr. Limbaugh that was in violation of federal law.
And it would be a violation of federal law.
It would be a violation of federal law.
I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a Schedule 3 or 12
no.
or, you know, no, 6 and 7 8.
Providing a prescription drug to anybody not prescribed for is a violation of federal law. You know, and interestingly, he went to the Dominican Republic, where we all know what goes on there.
Well, you know, I did read some, I read some sites, Ben, that refer to, where people refer to it who go there for the sex tourism as, and this should speak volumes, the new Thailand.
Exactly. Including it having a brand new bright and shiny HIV problem.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so if he went down there with 30 pills,
mm-hmm.
and all I can say is, you know, he could have gone with just the one or two he needed. He used one down there. If he went down with 30, my God, he went out loaded for bear.
Yeah.
And he got tired of the hunt after the first beaver.
See, you're taking me somewhere, Ben. I'm not going. But yeah, and well, I don't know. I'm gonna do it. Maybe he's so studly it turned out he didn't need the Viagra. Or maybe he just got so whacked on OxyContin down there.
Well, you know, there are other things available in the Dominican Republic.
Sure.
That.
And we ain't talking Cuban cigars, neither.
No, we're not. We're talking hashish.
Heroin.
Psilocybin.
Well, a long time back, one of our former callers, Rick, down in Panama City, Florida,
mm-hmm.
he said he was convinced that they had some sort of management program whereby they would manage his addiction, and he would never have to Jones. And he used as his basis for this the fact that he didn't even stay the full course there at wherever it was he was talking to the horses.
Yes, you know. The average rehab program has got a recidivism rate of something like 85%.
Yeah, especially when it's not cozied up with an ongoing treatment regimen.
Precisely. You know, the only thing I know of that takes an opiate addict, which Rush Limbaugh is now an opiate addict, and keeps him off. You know, off illegal drugs or diverted drugs is methadone.
Yeah.
Is Rush Limbaugh on daily methadone? I'm beginning to wonder if he is. He certainly on the air does not sound straight most of the time.
No. Well, even that campy sort of sarcastic, you know, how did Bob Dole's luggage get in my luggage?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and right after you ended that quote, he busily blamed Bill Clinton's penis.
No, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was talking about, something having to do with Monica Lewinsky was the follow-on to that little quote.
Well, he knew he had to address it, Ben.
Uh-huh.
And he was trying, you know, he couldn't address it with any degree of honesty, well, because there's not much honesty in him. He couldn't address it with any seriousness, because he couldn't let the ditto heads understand that he was seriously in the sling.
He is seriously in the sling. If they let this slide, it's only because he's getting a pass because it's Jebby's state and he has privilege.
Yeah, but by the same token, you know that... as soon as it all went down, Roy Black hung up the phone and hollered, "Honey, we're putting another wing on the mansion."
Oh, you betcha. Well, you know, Roy Black was out there, you know, saying yesterday that, no, it's no problem, not really a problem, no problem at all, no.
Of course, it's definitely not a problem. Of course, I'm an excellent driver. Drive slow in the driveway.
Nope.
But it is. I mean, if there's any justice at all, it is. Of course, we understand that there's justice, and then there's what rich people get.
Exactly right. And there's what rich Republicans get.
Yeah.
Which is better than the justice that just plain old rich people get.
I mean, my God, can you imagine if old Courtney Love?
Well, you know, she kind of got a slide there, too, on her most recent problem. She gets, you know, because she's a celebrity, she does get, you know.
You know, some community service and stuff, but they, you know, she had five that weren't in the prescription bottle in her purse, and they did bust her for it.
That's right.
They never even tried to attempt, you know, there was no attempt ever made to even serve a search warrant.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, it's not terribly encouraging, but sometime or another, the American people are going to figure out that there's a double standard, Ben, and that if you, you know, as comparing the two groups, the sexually dangerous people,
mm-hmm,
are for the most part almost routinely registered Republicans.
It's true, and the reason is because that is protective coloration.
Yeah, hang out, you know, you get a double bonus. You hang out in the church and you get to molest the little children.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
sometime when we're not on the air, ask me to tell you my Courtney Love story.
I will. Ben, thanks so much.
You take care, sir.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so there's a blog out there called Calling All Wingnuts, and this was forwarded along to me. This is part of the Rush Limbaugh stuff that you didn't hear in that previous quote. It was our friend David in Maine who first put us onto this website. This is the gentleman who makes a point of calling these monsters, and man, it takes some stomach to do it. Agnes, let's see if we can get this to play. Might take a minute or so. We're playing directly from the page. But at any rate, this is the bulk of
a call.
Exactly
right. Let's go back to the phones. Albany, this is Steve. Thank you for waiting, sir. I appreciate your patience.
Russ, I would have waited until my phone lines corroded to talk to you. I think you're great. I think that China is a country that tells the press what they can print and what they can't print. And I think that China is a country that monitors their citizens' emails. It's un-American, and you only have to go back 30 years to the Nixon administration to look at where this goes. He was spying on his political enemies using all the same tools, infiltrating anti-war organizations, which they have done at my university, the SUNY Albany University. They have intercepted our emails, and they have sent moles in to intercept our groups. It is not American, and you know what? They've already expanded this war on terror to the drug war. They said drugs finance terror. What are you going to do when they expand it to, say, sex tourism in the Dominican Republic?
Well, they're actually doing a pretty good damn good job here on the drug war. They're getting all kinds of people coming through customs here with Viagra. But let me tell you something, Steve. It's a nice...
Just a minute.
...try, but what you're sadly doing is making a series of mistakes that conform exactly to what I think is on the minds of the left today. You look at this administration as Nixon and Watergate. You look at this war as Vietnam. You compare this administration to the Chi-Coms. Now, that's offensive. I mean, I'm worn out. I'm literally worn out with this kind of thinking. You have to be smarter than this. The Chinese spy on their people. We're not spying on Americans in the NSA program. We're not tracking the financial transactions of Americans unless there is a terrorist connection.
Oh.
And it is working. The New York Times was not commanded not to publish. The administration asked them not to publish. They spent weeks trying to explain to them the program, and Bill Keller just admitted, hey, we're not judging the success of the program. A lot of people have told us it's a successful program. We're just concerned about whether or not it's legal and blah, 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 blah. That's the arrogance. This is a time of war.
There it is.
To equate this with Nixon spying on the guys in the Democratic National Committee at Watergate is ridiculous. And I have to think, you know better. We all have partisan leanings, and yours are obvious. So much so that you're willing to overlook some facts, I mean, some realities here that that make this dangerous. I'm going to tell you, you know, when I had this great weekend down in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, rats.
What went on in the great weekend down in the Dominican Republic, Rush? Is this, you know, I mean, I can guarantee you, the client, well, I played golf. You know, they got golf courses in the Dominican Republic. Maybe he toured a Dominican cigar factory at La Damiana. Odds are it was something more than that. And again, internet sleuths, where was Darren Kagan? If Darren Kagan was in Atlanta, well, this tells you something. And here, perhaps in the next hour, we're going to take a look at a scholarly paper on sex tourism in the Dominican Republic. Because this is something larger. You know we're not the Chi-Coms. Really, Rush? Really? Let's see. The Chi-Coms have a deregulated coal industry, and they lose lots and lots of coal miners every year. The Bush administration has slowly but surely deregulated the mining industry in the United States, and deaths in coal mines are on the rise. Really? Yeah, really. Of course, the Loral and the hissies that the right threw over Bill Clinton. Oh, well, they're getting our nuclear missile technology. They're getting all of our good. They'll see the big board. And that all goes quiet when it's the Bush family with its front feet in the trough. Remember, is it Neil? Ne'er-do-well Neil Bush? That business partnership with the son of Jiang Zemin in a software venture, and Neil Bush wouldn't know software from softwood? Shh, don't talk about that. We've got dissenting members of the military being court-martialed, prosecuted, detained without access to counsel or access to their families, and occasional contact with their counsel only. They'd never do something like that in communist China, now would they? Shall we go out and go over to Sundance.org and watch Ha 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 America again? Ah, America, you rounding error to Chinese population. No, they're communists, I tell you. They're communists. No, they're not. They're opportunists. And, you know, this is... I'm not anti-Chinese. I'm not. I feel sorry for people who have to live in that kind of totalitarianism. But the question, you know, the question. Did you hear him say? Well, you know, they begged him for weeks to not run this story. And they explained it to him for weeks, and they ran the story anyway. Does that indicate to us perhaps that the indications that the arguments and the imploring that the Bush administration was using were specious and bogus and unconvincing? That's what it does for me. The Bush administration is not spying on Americans. Shall we back up to that national security letter provision of the Patriot Act? The one that says that, you know, they dropped the national security letter on a bank or a car lot or a gambling casino. I mean, it's that's how broad it is. And it comes with a gag order built into it so that you pony up, you know, if you're the person receiving the national security letter, you pony up the information. You pony up the information and you're forbidden to tell anybody you have received it. And we know now that it's been used in excess of, what, 4,000 or 5,000 times? And there is no oversight, and there is no way for us to know, you know, we the people, 4th of July is coming, we the people. There's no way for Congress, in Congress, there's no way for Congress to know what these national security letters were used for. Well, Bush isn't Nixon. You think that Iraq is Vietnam. No, I think Iraq is worse than Vietnam. Vietnam had armies in the field of one form or another. Here, there's no army. There's just a collection of Iraqi civilians and some, and you're occupying their country, and they're not real fond of it, and so nobody knows who the bad guy is. We just know that we knock down some doors in the middle of the night, and occasionally we murder a few civilians. And it's a Haji girl. Nah, it's not Vietnam Rush. You know, in Russia's mind, the only thing that Iraq and Vietnam have in common is the fact that he was terrified to go to one, and he remains terrified to go to the other. This is just pathetic. What I don't understand is how Bob Dole's pills got in my luggage. Ugh. But, you know, there's a million other things going on. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Dominican Republic sex tourism trade and what it actually means. And then we'll move on. I don't have a problem with that. But somehow or another, we have got to reframe this and point out to America that thinks it's right-thinking and upright and decent, and a lot of it is. A lot of us are. That if you're right-thinking and upright and decent, you don't support the likes of Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly. My God, can you imagine Bill O'Reilly in the Dominican Republic with a handful of falafels? Loofahs? Falafel? Baba Ganoush? I don't know. Somewhere along the way, we've got to figure out the exact meaning of this double standard and why these monsters get away with it. It's astonishing to me. But we are coming up on the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll do more of your phone calls. We'll talk about the Dominican Republic sex tourism industry. And just about anything else that comes to your mind as well. You know how to get in touch. Okay, we got some new listeners. 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Email rolls right into bob@headonradio.com. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said you're traveling on the one after 909. I'm thinking out the door and I'm thinking on my bed is me. You're only fooling around with me. I said, move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said you're traveling on the one after 909. My bag, run to the station. Railman says you got the wrong location. Pick up the bag, run right home.
This is the Quality News Network. Israeli planes have blown up three bridges in central Gaza, a tactic aimed at splitting Gaza in two. Israeli officials say the offensive aims to prevent Palestinian militants from moving an Israeli soldier who was abducted Sunday. Witnesses also say a Palestinian power plant has been destroyed, cutting power to large areas. Meanwhile, negotiators from the Hamas government say they have accepted a deal that implicitly recognizes Israel. However, two Hamas leaders denied an agreement has been reached. In Iraq, the U.S. military said today that a crackdown in Baghdad has not produced the drop in violence they had hoped for. That assessment came with the announcement of 18 more deaths of Iraqis and the death of two U.S. troops. In Baghdad, former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein will face a second war crimes trial soon after his current trial ends. In the new trial, he'll face charges of killing some 100,000 Kurds following the first Gulf War. Forensic experts said they retrieved identification cards from mass graves that could help the prosecution's case. In Iran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has reportedly said he sees no point in negotiating with the U.S. about Iran's disputed nuclear program. That's in response to an offer by Washington to join the European Union's talks. But a White House official remains skeptical that the response came from Iran's president. In Washington, a constitutional amendment to ban flag burning failed by one vote. In Washington today, the man tapped by President Bush to become the next Treasury Secretary appeared before the Senate Finance Committee. Henry Paulson, who spent 32 years on Wall Street, is expected to be approved by the full Senate by the 4th of July. Also in Washington, the House is expected to pass a bill this week that would allow drilling off the Florida coast. But opponents have vowed to filibuster the bill, which could bring oil rigs within 50 miles of the Florida coastline. On Capitol Hill, the Bush administration has reportedly requested at least $16 million from Congress. That money would be used by the Veterans Affairs Department to protect the personal information of millions of veterans and family members. A laptop computer stolen in early May contained that information. In the nation's capital, commuter routes have reopened and crews are mopping up water damage inside buildings. More than 7 inches of rain fell there between Sunday and Monday, and forecasters predict rain every day this week. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Citizens Banking has announced plans to buy Republic Bancorp in a more than $1 billion deal. That merger will create a new entity, Citizens Republic Bancorp. The Tribune Company has announced it will buy back 45 million shares at $32.50 each. That's part of a $2 billion repurchase program. Five leading online service providers say they'll share a database to fight child pornography. The companies, including AOL, Yahoo, and Earthlink, also say they'll develop tools to help prevent its distribution. Nortel Networks says it's cutting 1,100 jobs and changing its pension program. The company also plans to create 800 new positions in Mexico and Turkey. Univision Communications, the nation's largest Spanish-language broadcaster, plans to sell the company to a group of investors. It would be a $12 billion deal. AOL has announced plans to create a new website, lat34.com. Skateboarders, snowboarders, and other athletes will be able to post their own videos on it. Financial Times reports the EU's top antitrust regulator will soon find Microsoft guilty of breaking international competition rules. Microsoft will likely face fines of up to $2.5 million a day. Light Sweet Crude settled at $71.80 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 116 points at 10,929. NASDAQ down 30, S&P 500 down 10. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, there we go. 5 minutes past the hour, I'm Bob. Tuesday night. Let's go straight to the phones. Our good friend Andy is calling from the UK. Andy, welcome aboard. Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Going well.
Good. I'm afraid I've called up with a complaint, Bob.
I've done. Okay, what have I done?
Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
Okay. We know that he's not credible.
No.
We know that he's a sexual malcontent and a freak. We know that he's a drug abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he's rich. So he is privileged. And that explains everything.
All true.
Now move on.
Fair enough.
Every second you spend talking about that freak is another second wasted in our fight against class privilege.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, but Andy, would you say that, because I don't think until this happened anybody was really considering the fact that there are, I mean, you want to talk about class privilege, that there were so-called well-heeled individuals from all over the world, from the United States especially, flying into the Dominican Republic to do sex things that they would not dare do here at home.
Yeah, no, that's a good topic to talk about. Do a segment of a show on the sex
tour. Well, that's coming.
Be around the world. But there's no point talking about Russia in particular. I mean, in Europe, we've known about this for a very long time. I mean, there's areas of Africa that people go to as well, along the Ivory Coast and the Gold Coast and things. And you know, I mean, they've all got lovely, shiny new HIV rates as well. It's nothing new that the rich go elsewhere. I mean, they used to go to Venice. Back in the Middle Ages, Venice was the place you went for sex tourism, you know?
True.
It's nothing new. The rich do that all the time, and it's just the fact that you Americans are so uninformed by your media that you don't know about it. I mean, that's not your fault, obviously. But it's part of the whole, the disposability of the working class.
Yes, the disposability of the poor.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, because they don't consider us working class. They consider us a bunch of poor parasites that feed off their wealth. Of course, they obviously switch it right around from the way it actually is to defend their own psyches from what they do to the rest of humanity. But that's been going on for the last... Ooh.
Well, let me share this study that I've been talking a little bit about, Andy. Let me share... This is a Canadian talking.
Right, right.
And the report says, and this is straight from it, consider, for example, two Canadian sex tourists we interviewed who loved the Dominican Republic precisely because here they are placed at the apex of an extremely unequal social, economic, and racial order. We interviewed them late at night in a bar where they were sitting. They explained to us that Canada's tax and welfare system, penalizes hardworking individuals like themselves and rewards the idle and profligate. As they spoke, two shoeshine boys aged 8 and 10 approached them, offering to shine their shoes. Greg said, "It's like these little guys. Barefooted children, midnight, shining shoes. In Canada, those kids would be sat in front of cable TV. Their parents would be on welfare, and the whole family would just be watching TV. I know. I'm a real estate dealer. I see those people, how they live. Those people. They don't want to work. They just get their welfare, and it's the taxpayer who gets the bill."
Well, absolutely. And you can't say it was as much contempt as the men stating it would have said it, because these people truly loathe us. They look at us as the great unwashed, that wonderful phrase, this great mass of people who are stupid. They look at ignorance as a reason for contempt. They look at poverty as a reason for contempt. Quoting the Columbus, one of those wonderful people that's celebrated in various sections as some sort of explorer or something, not that he was, but he went back to the King of Spain, the Queen of Spain, and said, "Oh, these people are wonderful. They're they're poor and we can just give them some food and they'll make fantastic slaves. Their poverty is a source of contempt, and we can abuse that poverty and we can take them as our slaves. Now, let's get on to the bigger topic of classism, because basically, whether you like to talk of it as class struggle or, you know, you want to talk about left versus right and all this sort of stuff, what we're basically engaged in is a war for survival, and that's a war for survival of the human species or, on the other half, the survival in the short term of vast amounts of wealth. And that's what we've been engaged in since the beginning. Now, we're in a really dangerous phase because of things like nuclear weapons and idiots at the top like George Bush. But don't get me wrong, George Bush isn't really the power in America, and neither's Dick Cheney. I mean, Dick Cheney's not exactly a clever man. We all know what he did with Halliburton. But these people are the faces that the ruling elite want to present to us. And of course they look stupid, because then a bunch of, like, not very intelligent liberals can sit around congratulating themselves on how stupid Bush is. Bush is stupid. But that's not a source for congratulation. That's
That's Coles to Newcastle.
Well, you know, he's stupid because they want us to think, oh, they're stupid, they're not really in charge. And of course the people who are in charge. We don't know who they are. Well, we do a few names, but, you know, take the richest bunch of families on the planet. That's the people who we're at war with, and we are at war with those people, and we have been ever since the year dot. The basic problem we have is that they use things like racism and sexism and nationalism and this crazy nonsense of flags and not burning the flag and all of this stuff is to ensure that we're kept separated. Because you and I, Bob, have more in common with a guy that's scratching a living out of the dirt in Africa than we do with Rush Limbaugh.
I have to agree.
And we do, and that's true of everyone. That's true of everyone. It doesn't matter whether they think they're Republican or not. If you don't have millions in the bank, you have more in common with a person starving in Africa or Asia or who hasn't got access to clean water than you have with the rich. And when I say the rich, I mean the people that you see in suits as politicians and all the people who back them. Because you get rich people. You get plumbers over here that get £100,000 a year or more. Well, that's rich, but it's not rich. They're middle class at best. No matter what they think. And they tend to support the ruling class, which is our problem, because we are divided. We're divided by race, and we're divided by sex. We're divided by national identity. I mean, what's the difference between me and some dude in France? Nothing. We speak different languages.
No, you know, like I said last night, I'm well familiar with the teachings of the old IWW before and during the First World War, and they said, if you get up and you go to work every day and you do something and somebody pays you for it, you are a worker.
Yeah, and you're effectively a slave. I mean, you don't have the choice. The capitalist would love to tell everybody that oh, you don't like your job? Get another one. Oh, you don't like the amount you're getting paid? Get a better job. Well, it doesn't work like that, and we know that because we're the ones at the receiving end. They don't know that because they've managed to convince themselves through the system they have set up.
Yeah, well, it's one of the ugliest, and it surprises me that it's survived into the 21st century in some ways, Andy. It's one of the most hateful, old-fashioned, you know, just pure, mean-ass Calvinism.
Well, that's
we're rich because God loves us better.
Yeah, that's what capitalism is. Capitalism is whatever excuses you need to make for it are acceptable as long as you're the one who's rich and making the excuses. You know, The whole problem is that, you know, great thinkers and people who can articulate this a lot better than I can are basically banned from our airwaves. I mean, Noam Chomsky and Michael Parenti are two, Christian Parenti as well, the names that spring to mind. And there are many others. Chris Harman, he's a great speaker. Mark Steele over here, he's a great speaker. But, you know, we don't get to hear these people because apart from a few very sort of specialist political radio stations and sort of socialist worker sort of areas, people don't play them, and that's something I want to try and bring to the Head On Radio Network. I want to try and get some interviews done with some of these big thinkers and look at it in a holistic way, because we get so caught up with the tiny little things that they give us to argue about.
Well, I agree.
Rush Limbaugh's part of it. Rush Limbaugh's whole attitude. I mean, they didn't plan him getting caught with Viagra. I don't necessarily think that. But people like him are available as sources of derision and ridicule, because, you know, a bunch of people in America listen to him and go, uh-huh, yep, that's right, Rush, I agree with everything you say.
Oh, you do that you do that just way too well, Andy.
What? What's that?
the yank accent, the redneck accent.
Well, I've got to admit, I listen to the Stephanie Miller show, and Jim, the voice guy, is a voice deity, so I follow his impersonations. He's a great one with that Sling Blade character that rings Mike Malloy's show every so often.
Yeah.
The No Spin Biscuits and Mustard, that's a great impression. Sorry, talking about Fox and No Spin and stuff. But we always argue about what they want us to argue about. That's our problem. We need to stop talking about Rush Limbaugh. Who gives a damn? He's not credible. You know, we need to look at why are we exploiting Iraq? Why are we exploiting Iraq? Not why are we occupying it, although we're doing that as well. Not why did we blow up a load of things and say Saddam Hussein was the problem. None of that. That's not relevant. Why are we doing it? Not argue about what was the argument in the past.
Yeah, the basic stuff that Greg Palast is talking about these days.
That's it. You know, look at who profits. Qui bono, right? Who profits? That is one of the all-time... If anybody knows anything about Latin history, then they should know qui bono and Cicero. Cicero, sorry.
Yeah, to whom the good.
Well, that's it, absolutely. And at the moment, well, to whom the good? Well, Halliburton's getting loads and loads of tax dollars from you Americans, which is just about keeping the company afloat. It doesn't actually make a big profit, I found out the other day.
No, because by the time they're done dealing with their liabilities from Cheney's purchase of W.R. Grace,
yep.
Not so much.
No, but of course now they've got Iraq, they're afloat for the next indefinite. Who else profits? Well, the American government profits because they...
Who manufactures cruise missiles?
Well, yeah, GM and General Electric and whoever else it is that manufactures the war machine, they profit. But the government profits by keeping hold of the petrodollar, because otherwise it would be a petro-euro, and that would have happened already, and you guys would have sunk already. Who else profits? Well, Shell and BP and Exxon and all the other great oil companies, not because they...
Don't forget the social control industry.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean...
Religion.
The oil companies are benefiting. The oil companies wanted the war because there's no oil coming onto the market. So what happens? Their profits stay high. And, of course, they get all the tax rebates.
Well, you make a compelling case. I think the list is maybe longer than what you've had time to put out there, Andy.
I could go on for the next 6 days nonstop if we want to talk about class warfare in the extreme. But I've got to get on and let you talk to other people and carry on with the show. But just... Mention these things. Talk about these things. Say Rush Limbaugh was caught doing something stupid yet again. This is what he did. And then go, Rush Limbaugh, as we all know, not credible. Move on. And that's all we need to do with these freaks. We need to stop talking about their arguments. We need to start talking and thinking about our problems and how we're going to address them. And like I've said, you need to elect your... Because you guys get to elect police chiefs and stuff in some areas, don't you?
Well, yeah. The city council, yeah. County commission, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you need to elect your people... Our people, the working people, you need to...
Right. I agree. I'm all in favor, Andy, of building pyramids from the ground up.
Well, that's the only way it can be done. And all these idiots that are going on about 2006, 2008, I'd like to say this. If you don't control the people who choose the machines and the voting method, you don't control the vote. The only way you can be sure it's a fair vote is if you, the people, have access to it. And everyone can look at it and go, that's fair. There's no hidden things. And because the machines are Diebold, because the machines are all these other companies, because these companies are owned by the rich, then it's all a farce, and you live in the same republic as Rome did, where the vote was irrelevant, and it's up to the senators to do what they like.
Right, because the vote was only for the plebs anyway.
Yeah, it didn't matter what the plebs wanted. They'd just argue their way around it in the end.
Well, and every time a senator stood up for the plebs, well, the brothers Gracchi, I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Oh, yeah, the Gracchi, the Julii, everyone who's bad in history. If you look at Roman history, look at everyone who's bad, they were all good for the people. Because Roman history was written by the rich.
Yeah, the brothers Gracchi stood up and tried to reform put in reforms for the plebs, and they were literally cut down where they stood.
Yeah, the whole family was assassinated, and the reforms were repealed. And what we're looking at now is a race back to the early 19th century, when the robber barons ruled all, the mid-19th century, when the robber barons ruled all, and the poor were all slaves. Black, white, Chinese, didn't matter. You're all slaves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are a few opportunities to try to reverse that, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've made great strides in that, but we're in danger of giving it all up, because these fascists like Murdoch, he's one of the ones who are ruling it all. His papers and press keep the fever about racism and sexism high.
Well, I've got a story here that I haven't really touched on, but you just did, Andy. It's from commondreams.org. The title is Help Labor Stop Bush NLRB Assault on Workers' Rights.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all.
Basically, what it boils down to is there's a series of cases called the Kentucky River.
Right.
And the Bush NLRB hopes to strip away the last little vestiges of federal labor law protection. And it's going to affect hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people. 47,000 people opted to accept the Delphi buyout package in the last day or so. Can you imagine what that's going to do to the economy in old northern Ohio, Indiana, Michigan?
Yeah.
When that money is gone?
Well, we've already had companies folding because of Delphi and DM. We've had thousands of workers laid off in Britain, hundreds in South Wales near me.
And, you know, I hesitate to be. I don't know. There's something in me that believes very strongly in the idea of workers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
Well, look at this, right? We're approaching very quickly because of the actions of the rich. And, of course, if they actually listen to this conversation, they'll deny that it's their actions that have caused this. But we're approaching very fast a pre-revolutionary situation. If you look at all the revolutions in history, you look at the way things get tougher. And a pre-revolutionary system is simply where things become more and more intolerable. Did you guys know that you are working, an average white American male is working 175 hours a year more than they were 20 years ago?
Yes, I do know that. I don't think the average American male knows that.
No, of course they don't. But that's a month. That's a month longer.
That used to be vacation.
Yeah, they're slowly pushing on the pressure. And, of course, the rich never look at history and learn from it. So they keep pushing on the pressure. And every time they'll come back with, oh, the economy is not doing so well. Let's slash wages. Let's cut benefits. Let's throw people out of work. They'll do this, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse. And the pressure cooker effect starts. And at some point, it all kicks off. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily come about in a revolution, but it could. And it's the situation where they risk everything to try and keep everything. And we either submit or we don't. And that's how it's going to go. And because of globalization, which call globalization what it is. It's imperialism.
Yeah, well, global fascism, sure.
No, call it imperialism. Fascism is imperialism. You know, imperialism is like the worst form of fascism because imperialism is where a very small group of people, instead of trying to take a whole population, instead try to crush the entire mass of people. And that's what they're doing. These families are the new royal families of the empire. It's no longer the British royal family and aristocracy. It's a few of those that are left about, the richest, but very often it's the new corporations and their executives who swap jobs every few months to make it seem like they're not all, like, coordinating the entire world.
Well, for instance, Phelps Dodge, according to the news reports we had yesterday, is trying to absorb a couple of other mining corporations. They will become the world's single largest providers of copper and nickel. Never mind gold, silver, platinum, any of that stuff. If you control the copper and the nickel, you've got the world by the short and curlies.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the two of the most short resources we have on Earth, those two. And, you know, if you can control the mine, then, well, you can set the price, you can set the standards of living and standards of labor for the workers.
But suddenly it's like the last part of the 19th century and the early 20th century. It just didn't happen, Andy.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. That's
Joe Hill, Big Bill Hayward, those guys, I mean, you know, hanged, shot, killed.
Well, I mean, these people...
For nothing.
Well, these people look at history in a way that is understandable but twisted. They look at history in a kind of... Anything bad that comes up in history was obviously the fault of the workers. It could never have been the rich at the time because the rich are them and they do everything right. And that basically it is the omnipotence of wealth. And they truly believe that they're better than us. They truly believe that they are more worthy than us. And there's little we can do short of having a few. I mean, why do they hate the Hollywood liberals so much? Because they are rich people who are working against the class interest of the rich.
Yeah, well, it's why they hated FDR so much.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He was rich. I mean, he was rich when he was born. It wasn't like he worked his way up from the gutter or anything, although a lot of Republicans would like to tell you that their ancestors worked their way up from 10 cents shining shoes somewhere.
It's why they hate the Kennedys.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The Kennedys, although there's lots wrong with the Kennedys.
Oh, plenty.
They at least looked out for the workers of America, if not anywhere else. And, you know, it goes on. You look at any group of people who work for the workers, and they're attacked and betrayed and classed as communists or socialists or Jews or, you know, whatever. Whatever they have to call you, they'll call you and they'll try and destroy us. because that's what they do. They're out to destroy us because they don't want us. They don't think that their wealth that they have comes from us. They think that we steal their wealth, which is, of course, totally wrong. But, you know, look at modern economics. Look at the way economics is taught now. It's nonsense. It's utter rubbish. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, I think that point was driven home by the lecture that John Fox obtained down there in Australia called, the guy was calling it Wowsernomics.
Yeah, well, it is. It's like, well, let's just make some stuff up, and, okay, yeah, that'll do. That's our new economic.
And the next thing you know, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Well, yeah, it does, but it snaps the spines of many of them and sinks others, and then it might even flood into the harbour, rise over the harbour walls, wipe out a load of seafront cafes and some fishmongers, go tidally surging upriver, and destroy the nuclear power station you've got upstream. So it's a ridiculous analogy.
Well, it is, but I mean, I don't know so much about what you have to deal with over there, Andy, but over here, we can't have a realistic debate.
No,
you know, it's all buzzwords.
Well, yeah, they do the same over there. They have the talking points of the idiots that represent the administration here, and I mean, you even hear some of them repeating the talking points of the American administration over here. And it's always they always try to make it a non-debate. It's like our nuclear option at the moment for energy over here. Well, we've got a load of aging nuclear power stations, so we need to make a decision, says the government. They will come up with an independent investigation, and when it comes out with its findings, we'll then make a decision and have a debate after after its findings. Okay, fine, says everyone. 6 months before the findings are due to come out, Tony Blair signs a deal with British Nuclear Energy that is going to replace all of the nuclear power plants with nuclear power plants.
We win!
Well, the problem is, everybody goes, what? But why? We haven't built any nuclear power plants for ages. Well, you know why that is. Because governments wouldn't invest in it. It's not because nuclear power plants can't be built by private industry. Of course they can, but they're just not willing to take the risk. Everybody has to think of this. Everything that your military has that goes out to blow things up will be sold to private industry at a loss, so private industry can make a massive profit. Everything. Because so far, everything the taxpayer in America and Britain has ever done is sold off. We laid the water pipes. We paid for it. Sold off to private companies, German companies. Yeah?
Oh, sure. It happens all the time over here.
Yeah, it happens all the time, and this is what globalization is about. It's about reducing the rights of everyone, taking all the wealth in society, owning all the land, owning all the pipes, owning all your houses. When you're renting them for your houses, and you're renting yourself the labor at the minimum cost and the maximum profit for the labor and the houses respectively.
Well, yeah, and you know, you really... I'm living smack dab in the middle of that heritage, Andy. The coal company houses still exist in this town where I am.
Mm.
You know, row on row, maybe 10 or 15 feet between the houses. Every house looks like the house next to it. They were all rented by the coal company to the coal miner. He spent company scrip at the company store, was forbidden by contract from joining a union or from shopping anywhere but the company store that had the inflated prices. And, yeah, that's where we're going back to.
Well, that's what they want. And, I mean, you know, you guys had it so much worse than us. We had, like, philanthropist industrialists, for the most part, over here. And, you know, people who'd get up in the morning and look out their window and go, my workers are working in that. Right, I'm building a whole new town and factory with a hospital, with a bar, with a shop. And they'd do that.
Well, I mean, you know, you had some of that over here, but it was more along the lines of, well, I'm filthy rich now, and I'm afraid I'm going to burn in hell if I don't set up a library foundation, and you get Andrew Carnegie.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had some truly philanthropic industrialists, but they were still capitalist pigs.
Yeah.
And you know, look at the police. Do the police work for us, or do they work for the capitalists? Because I don't know about you, but every time there's a strike, the police always seem to be on the side of the money, not on the side of the workers. They
well, you know, again, ancient history lesson from West Virginia. The West Virginia, the origins of the West Virginia State Police, Andy, lie in the state of West Virginia employing out of work Baldwin mine thugs.
Mm-hmm.
The first West Virginia State Police officers were mine thugs,
yeah.
Strike breakers,
well, yeah,
knee busters.
Go back as far as you like. The enforcement of law by governance has always involved a certain degree of, like, legitimized violence, as they call it. I mean, you know, basically a bunch of dudes with a uniform on hitting people with clubs. hasn't really changed much for, well, probably thousands and tens of thousands of years. The state will enforce against the worker at all costs, because the state is pretty much always run by the elite. And that goes for the Soviets, who called themselves communists. That goes for the, what does Rush like to call them, Chi-coms?
The Chi-coms, yes. And I'm glad you're making that point, because not a lot better for the worker under the Soviet Union than it is under, you know, than it is here. You know, oh boy, we've got new baubles. We got a refrigerator.
You know, I mean, the whole system that we live under, the capitalist ethos and the insane aggression over resources that really we could share quite comfortably and used to the benefit of mankind. I mean, you know, all it takes is a bit of pooling of resources now, and we have virtually unlimited resources for the rest of, well, 500,000 million years until the sun explodes.
Well, you make, and that's very interesting, because I heard a report earlier today. Did you see the news story break yesterday, Andy, about how Warren Buffett's giving away all his money to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation?
Yeah, I was impressed.
You were impressed. I was insulted.
Well, I'm impressed because he could have done a lot of things with that money, and he didn't need to give it to charity. But he did. And, I mean, yeah, he's trying to assuage his conscience, possibly. Yeah, maybe he actually believes that it'll do some real, real good, and I suspect it will, because if it's not going through a government agency, it's much less likely to have corruption involved in it. He's a capitalist pig, and we should despise him for what he's done to workers throughout the time, and maybe we should praise him for a couple of things he's done here and there, but ultimately he represents the ruling class, and until he comes out and says, I support the workers and we need to change the world, then he's still going to be on the side of despicable for me. But him giving away 85% of, what was it, $40 billion or something?
$60 billion is what he gave away.
Well, he could do a lot of good with that.
I hope it does, but the thing that I was concerned, you know... he's given it away to a foundation, hopefully, that's going to eliminate disease in the entire world. And I just couldn't help reflecting on how silly that is. Okay, great, you're going to eliminate disease in the entire world. Well, you're going to hasten overpopulation.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, it's part of that capitalist thing of focus on a thing, and then we can say we've got some results, or we can say, oh, you can't fix it.
Andy, I hate to do this. I've just been informed. I need to break away here.
That's cool.
I've got to take a break. I'm told by Agnes that my father is very, very ill.
Okay.
I'm going to run some bumper music and stuff. But I really enjoyed our conversation. I hate to break it precipitously.
I'll call back, man. And best wishes to everyone. Love to the family, man.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Stand by, please. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to start some music. If you're on hold, I'll be back to you when I can. Like I said, I'm going to start some music. We'll just kind of let it run in perpetuity for a little while until I find out what's going on. Stand by, please.